Hello, I'm Melissa Bernstein. In 1988, 37 years ago, Doug and I founded our toy company, Melissa and Doug. And in 2021, we launched our second company, Lifelines. Along this journey of creating, building, and mentoring, I've gathered lessons that became my foundation for my new book, The Heart of Entrepreneurship, Crafting Your Authentic Recipe for Success. At its core, the book asks a powerful question: how do we bring innovative ideas into the world while staying true to our essence? As we age, many of us lose touch with the childlike awe, curiosity, and wonder that once came so naturally. Yet those are the very ingredients that fuel entrepreneurship. And here's the truth. Everyone, yes, everyone, has the capacity to think creatively, to solve problems, and to innovate. But like any recipe, it requires a deliberate process. Today, I'll share five essential steps of that process, what I call the recipe for entrepreneurial success. 1, develop a start from scratch mentality. Imagine walking into your kitchen each morning and seeing a completely empty pot. No leftovers, no old recipes, just a blank slate. That's what I face every day as a creator: the daunting but exhilarating task of starting fresh. This mindset is essential for innovation. We can't rest on yesterday's ingredients. We must embrace a beginner's mind, a state of utter unknowing, like a child who can see infinite possibilities and the extraordinary in the ordinary. This means letting go of our ego, which is filled with fear and rigidity, and leaning into curiosity and exploration. Here's the litmus test. Are you truly passionate by what you're doing? If not, maybe it's time to empty the pot, clean it out, and stir an entirely new pot. Step 2, become an indiscriminate gatherer of ingredients. I love this word indiscriminate because it means at random and without careful judgment. To cook something new, you need a pantry overflowing with diverse ingredients. In entrepreneurship, those ingredients come from your life experiences. Follow your curiosity wherever it leads. Yes, wherever it leads, even if it seems odd and offbeat. Try new hobbies. Strike up conversations with complete strangers. Explore unfamiliar places, even within your own town. Every new experience is like a spice or herb that goes in your pantry and expands the creativity within it. At some point, one of those ingredients will spark something profound in you. It's called a crystallizing experience, coined by Howard Gardner. Then you'll want to dive deeper and learn more and more. Curiosity is not about rushing to an outcome. It's about living in the process, the verb, so to speak. It's about patience, confidence, and enjoying the process of discovery. Step 3, let your ingredients simmer. This is the most challenging part of the creativity process because most people want to rush to the finish line. Yes, we have this tendency to want to get to the end goal, to get to the noun, instead of living in the process and the verb, which is where all the joy lies. So what we do is we throw all those ingredients into the pot too quickly. We don't allow it ample time to simmer and allow all those ingredients to combine and recombine with each other. And because of that, the recipe is the exact same as all those recipes in the past. It tastes the same every time. Creativity, one of my favorite definitions by this amazing creativity researcher, E. Paul Torrance, he says the imaginative recombination of elements from the past into new configurations needed in the present. The key word there is recombination. That means that the ingredients need time and space to recombine in new ways. So we must give those ingredients time to simmer in the unconscious. So what does this mean? You put the ingredients in the pot, you put the lid tightly on the pot, you put the burner setting on low, and you step away and allow the unconscious mind to do its magic. This simmering process is essential for new revelations, and you must stop thinking about the problem and focus your mind on other things. Yes, completely other things. We're so magical, our minds, that even when our mind is focused elsewhere, we are still doing the work unconsciously and solving other problems. So the process is personal, and what you choose to do really depends on the problem you're solving and who you are. So for me, spending time in nature is my muse. I find that being in nature when I have a complex problem to solve, it kind of frees my mind from thinking about the problem because I focus on the beauty of nature and it allows me to do that unconscious work. But for you, it may be something entirely different. You know, some people can listen to music. Some people can drive and read. I can't do things too complex because then my mind isn't free enough to really ponder the answer. And then after minutes or days or sometimes weeks of allowing your ingredients to simmer, that chef's kiss recipe emerges in what seems to be a flash of lightning, but it's actually a flash of intuition. And sometimes I've had this happen too, that chef's kiss recipe never arises. Why is that? Because a key ingredient may still be missing. That's okay. It's not meant to arise if it doesn't arise. We cannot rush the process without risking bland, derivative results. So allow the process and see what happens. It will be magical, I promise. Step 4, invite others into your kitchen. Once you have a crystallized prototype of your idea, and only then do you invite others to come into your kitchen and try it out. They're your taste testers, so to speak. But too often, people seek feedback much too early, before their idea is crystallized in their own mind. This is a problem because then their unique idea or original take on an existing idea gets watered down by other people's opinions and turns into something generic. Protect your vision until it's strong enough to stand on its own. Build its roots deep. And when you do invite tasters into your kitchen, make sure they are your target audience. These are the people who would actually choose your restaurant and choose to purchase the items on your menu. If you choose those who are not your target audience, you will get feedback that is not helpful to your particular concept. The feedback from your target market is invaluable. However, this doesn't mean that you take every piece of feedback those people give you and use it to change your recipe. In fact, you must filter every bit of feedback through your authentic vision. Remember, no one with a clear vision ever uses all the feedback they receive. They filter it, pluck out those most relevant and salient pieces, use those to iterate and improve their recipe, and get rid of all the rest. Step 5, embrace imperfection and evolution. This might be the hardest step. Letting go of perfection. I am a perfectionist, and I had a very hard time early in my career letting anything leave my brain, leave our office, and go out into the world. I started creating a sort of a lesson to live by, which I call the 80% rule. Basically, when something feels about 80% ready, I release it into the world. Why is this the case? Well, if I waited for it to achieve 100%, I would have never launched even one product, because the truth is nothing is ever at 100%. So I realized that I had to do my best. I had to put everything I could into my product. I had to allow ample simmering. I had to let testers into my kitchen to weigh in on my concept and give me input that I then incorporated into the product. And then when I could think of nothing more to do at that moment, I had to close my eyes, hold my breath, and release it into the world. I realize that it's not 100%. But I know that without realizing that and without releasing it into the world, I could never get closer to 100%. So what I do is I let it go into the world. I let my consumers try it out, test it, and give me feedback. And then I continue to hone it, to improve it, to perfect it, so that over time, every single product gets closer to that 100%. Honestly, does it ever get there? I don't think so. I've had some that maybe are at 98%, but there is always something that can be improved. So that way, I've changed my way of thinking. Every idea, every product is a continual work in progress, constantly evolving, constantly improving. And isn't that the joy of life? Aren't we doing the same thing? That mindset is what keeps innovation alive. So, whether you're inventing a toy, a service, a company, or simply reigniting your own sense of wonder, the recipe is completely the same and something we all can engage in again and again. We start from scratch, right? With that beginner's mind. In the beginner's mind, Shunryu Suzuki said, there are many possibilities, in the expert, just a few. Then we gather ingredients, we follow our intrigue, we follow our curiosity wherever it leads us, and we stock the pantry in our mind so full with disparate ingredients, never knowing how or where or in what recipe they'll be used. Then those ingredients that captivate our attention more than others, we put into stock pots and we put them on a simmer, on perhaps the back burner in our minds, and we put that lid tightly on and we allow those ingredients to simmer. If we allow them to simmer for long enough and we have the right ingredients in the pot, in a matter of time, that amazing chef's kiss recipe will emerge. It'll seem like a bolt of lightning, but it's actually our intuition that has immersed itself in the problem for so long that it's able to subconsciously give us amazing answers to those problems. Then, when we see the concept clearly in our own mind, we invite testers into our kitchen to taste our recipe. These testers should be those who would actually purchase your product. And we take their feedback all at face value. We listen to it. We think about it against the lens of what we've created. We take those pieces of feedback and incorporate them into our product that make the most sense. And we let go the rest of those, and we reimagine our product to become the improved version of our product. And then when we're ready, we think we've done sort of enough to set it free, we share it with the world even before it's perfect. The heart of entrepreneurship is about reconnecting with the spark we all once had and realizing it's still within all of us, waiting to be rekindled. I can't wait to hear what you think about the book. It's truly the product that I'm most proud of. Thanks so much.